Dear Lord, what an incredible day. Many righteous men have longed to live to this day, but we are here and see it in our lifetime. Oh my goodness, what an honor, what a blessing. Lord, place a hedge around Jerusalem, if you will. Lord, I thank you for this nation, for this president. I thank you for the strength of what we are doing right now. Lord, watch over your people here and there. And Lord, as we learn about being soft of heart and strong of mind, help us to put those into action in this coming week and in our lives so that we might prove worthy servants to you. And we thank you, Lord, for all you have done and all you will do. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning, brother.
Yes, sir. It's been a heaven of a week and a hell of a week. Depends on which news you listen to. The name of this message is Sheep Amongst Wolves. New Covenant portion will be Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 through 23. The Lord said, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and gentle as doves. It's one of the most difficult sayings of our Lord. Conjures up all kinds of images, mainly of the serpent in the Garden of Eden and the battle of wits that the man lost. The battle took place in the mind of man for control over his soul. And that nature of that battle has not changed over the course of these millennium. Man fell in the garden because he got soft-minded, lost focus. He had no resolve. Unfortunately, soft-minded people usually end up hard-hearted. I want to look at this condition a little more closely because it's playing out before our eyes almost every day these days. Realistic thinking has a bleak, almost austere quality about it. In fact, it could be described, well, it's dispassionate and could be described almost as ruthless in the way it's applied. It could be likened to a surgeon's knife, cutting, slicing through soft flesh to get at diseased tissue and then trying to cut it out. The knife that is used in the life of the believer, of course, is the Word of God, Hebrews. Sharp two-edged sword. But the decision to allow God to use that knife to cut out sin and disease rests in the mind of the believer. I've got a personal testimony about this, and it surrounds the Brit Milah of my son. Brit Milah is the ritual circumcision that Jews go through on the eighth day. There is a blessing that is given to the moil, the man who actually does the surgery, and it says, it ends with, a weak man may not be a moil. In other words, if you're weak, if you're squeamish, moil is not a good profession for you. This is a true statement, but it is not confined just to the moil. The weak man cannot follow God at all, on any level. The Brit is very difficult for everyone. The moil must be willing to cause a little child pain in order to allow him to enter into the covenant with God. The parents must be willing to watch their son strapped to a table and participate in causing that child pain. I bear a witness that this is a most difficult thing to do. In fact, it was the most difficult commandment of God that I have ever been asked to perform. When my son came out of his mama, I was there, and frankly, I didn't know that a man could be so in love with another human being. It was just, I simply don't have any words. And as the day of the Brit drew closer, my mind began to soften. And as my mind began to soften, my heart became hard towards God. We all blame God for everything. Why are you making me do this? It's barbaric. God didn't speak to me during that time. He just let me rant and rave and kick up my heels and such. Never did speak to me. I suppose he already figured, he'd already spoken to me in his word on the eighth day. Do this. Sometimes he's not much of a conversationalist. However, the serpent never ceased from talking. That boy couldn't shut up. You're under grace. You don't have to do this. Those first century believers who continued to circumcise their children, well, that was just a transition from the old to the new. And the mind just continued to soften while the heart continued to harden. And I became very angry with God for calling me to hurt my son, my only son, whom I loved. And that's when Abraham came to mind. And I remembered the most striking part of the Akedah Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac, is that to me, what struck me fiercely was, and Abraham awoke early in the morning to do all that God had commanded him to do. He didn't procrastinate, he didn't wait till the afternoon, he didn't put things off. He woke up early to be about God's business. And as my mind toughened towards the enemy's words, I became more focused on following the word of God, and my heart began to grow tender once again towards God. And by the time of the Brit, I was praising God that he had given me a son so I could participate in this Brit, and I was actually sorry that I didn't have the skills to perform the Brit myself. It was a complete turnaround as my mind began to focus and harden, set like flint on walking that path without turning to the left or the right. Soft minds will not serve God, for the soft mind will not do the hard things. Soft-minded people will seek the path of least resistance, and this is precisely what happened when Israel entered into the land. We were commanded to fight and to purge the land from its inhabitants, and God warned us that if we didn't, they would be a thorn in our side and a prick in our eyes forever. Unfortunately, we lost focus after a very short period of fighting. We compromised and took the path to temporary peace rather than doing what God has said to do and find a peace that would last forever. In fact, we suffer from the effects of that decision to this very day. There are a few prophecies that cannot be denied in their fulfillment, and that certainly would be one of them. Always be careful when you figure out that you know more than God. That's not a good sign. You might want to just backtrack a step or two. The soft mind will shy from walking circumspectly. We don't like taking a hard look at ourselves and dealing with the problems that we see. And that mirror that shows us those problems is what? The Word of God. When I look in a mirror, my image, my earthly image is reflected. When I read the Word of God and see His perfect description of what my life should be, I am looking in a mirror and seeing all those faults as well. We rarely take responsibility. We tend to blame others for our failures. You know, it started out real early. What have you done? It was this woman that you gave me. God's fault, right? Nothing's really changed over the course of the existence of man. God speaks to Adam. What did you do? Boom. This woman here, you gave her to me. This is not my fault. We carry it on to this day. Where's the remote? Same thing. It's always the woman who took it and hid it. Never us. It's precisely what Yeshua speaks about when he says, remove the beam from your own eye that you might see clearly, to remove the speck from your brother's. Spend more time walking circumspectly, analyzing and viewing your own life and your own walk. That way you can see clearly to help other people. Otherwise, it's blind leading the blind. The soft-minded will resent anyone who proclaims to them an unpleasant truth while honoring the man who will speak pleasant lies. We see this all the time. It's produced many strange teachings. We flock to men who proclaim that Yeshua died so that we can get stuff, while rejecting utterly the one who declares that we need to take up our cross. We need to carry that. We need to walk in the same path as Yeshua. One of those teachings was kind of interesting. Yeshua had no place to lay his head, so he was homeless. And he took upon himself our poverty so we can have wealth. Interesting. Fascinating teaching. The path outlined by Yeshua is narrow, and the path is not an easy path here. There is great resistance here. In fact, the Lord promises us this. In this life, you will have trouble. He didn't say in this life you'll have wealth and ease. He said in this life, you're going to have some trouble if you're following me, because the world is enmity with my Father. And if you follow me, the world will be fighting against you. You will be an enemy of the world. And there's going to be some trouble. Ultimately, during the time of the tribulation, there's a very disconcerting type of statement. And the beast will make war against the saints, and he will prevail. There are going to be many believers in the time of the great tribulation who will succumb physically, just like there were many believers in the first century and in the second century and in the third century who also succumbed to the forces of evil in this physical body. The good news about that is if you give up your life for the name of Yeshua, the second death has no power over you. Depends where your treasures are. Are you living just for this life, or are you living for an eternity, a place in eternity? A man will always follow where he keeps his treasure. Only the hard, focused mind is going to enter into a path that leads to life. Kind of prone to believing half-truths and then pretending that things are different. I don't know, maybe it's a coping mechanism, I don't know. But we're seeing it a lot today. You'll hear things like Proverbs chapter 23 taken completely out of context. For as a man reckons in his soul, so he is. As a man thinks, so he is. Whatever you believe yourself to be, so you are. Well, that ain't true. There's a lot of guys today who believe they're women. That ain't right. I'm sorry. There's a lot of women today who believe they're men. That ain't right neither. You can walk around believing you're a rich person. But if you ain't got no money, you ain't rich. I understand what they're talking about, but you got to be careful. Because the difference between believing that you can do something, which is half the battle, is only a hair's width away from complete delusion. All right? During my mountaineering days, I had to believe that I could climb that mountain. If I didn't believe that, I probably wouldn't take the first step. But of course, getting to the top and believing I could fly down wouldn't be the same kind of thinking, would it? That would be delusion. The good news would be that it would be my last delusion. We are seeing this happen a lot today, and it's sad. It's an infirmity. It's a sickness. I mean, we've got a senator declare she's part of the Cherokee Nation. Cherokees don't want to have anything to do with her. That little pug nose and them blue eyes ain't Cherokee. Nobody seems to be happy with who they are these days, and everybody proclaims they're something else. And because they believe that, they're now trying to pose that on others and make us accept that reality. Now, when I was a boy, back before there were dinosaurs during the time of the ferns, we would call those people mentally ill. All right? If you're a man walking around in a dress thinking you're a woman, well, somebody's going to contact you, try to talk with you, and if they can't, they're going to give you drugs. They're going to put you in a room, and you can be a woman all day long. Now they want me to accept that. They want me to play along. Some of the old folks are just kind of ornery, and we don't play those games well. We see it for what it is. I'm sorry you're having these kinds of problems. You thought about some counseling. Delusion leads to frustration. Frustration leads to anger, and that's what we're seeing. Everybody's angry today because everybody's frustrated today because nobody will believe what they believe. Whenever people are confronted about the things that are a deficit in their lives, they become hurt, then depressed, and again, finally angry, and the heart hardens. Well-adjusted people are those who have learned a very simple but profound honesty. They see themselves for precisely what they are. They are able to see their strengths, and they are also able to see their weaknesses. I have a very realistic view of myself. I have many talents, and I have many powers, many strengths. I also have many weaknesses. And with those weaknesses, I try to get other people who have strengths in those areas to shore me up. I don't see it as a belittling idea that I don't have all power. I do many things well. I don't do other things well. So I get help. That's a wise man, not a fool. It's the fool who doesn't know how to do something and then does it anyway without seeking instruction. He's not teachable. Too much pride. You know the old Clint Eastwood line, a man's got to know his limitations. We must know not only those areas of power, but those areas of weakness. That's why so many pastors burn out and fall. People tend to see pastors as supermen. You know, they can do everything, and they should do everything. And sometimes pastors see themselves that way too. Now, I've been pastoring for 34 years, and I've never felt burnt out. I've never needed a retreat. I try not to take more upon myself than I ought to. The things I do well, I will do. The things I don't, I stay away from. I don't have anything at all to do with the money here. There's a reason for that. I am horrible with it. I lose it. I mean, I called Pam today. You know, I lost my check. When Sylvia was alive, they didn't even give me my check. They gave it to Sylvia. Because the first time they gave me the check, I lost it between the office and my truck. It was only like 20 feet. And it went into the burnt zone, and it was gone. And it's never come back out. So they just stopped giving me my check. Just gave it to the wife. And I was happy, because as long as I got diesel and enough for a candy bar, I'm happy. So I got men who are really good with money. And they had the board of trustees, and I let them do it. That's wisdom on my part. We have to start accepting truth, accepting reality. It's imperative. We're living in a delusion half the time. You know, if I'm not feeling well and somebody comes up to me, how you doing? I'm not feeling so well. Oh, don't confess that. Oh, okay. I'm feeling great. Thank you. You know, how about some prayer instead of getting in my face? Hey, what about that? Maybe you offer to pray for me instead of telling me I shouldn't pronounce truth and reality. I guess you could be an optimist. You jump off the building on every single floor. You're heard to say, "So far, so good." Guess that would work. I'll finish this up real quick. Man's actions are influenced by three internal factors. We have emotions or feelings, we have intellect, and we have a soul. If we act only on our feelings, we're going to wind up in jail. You're going to murder somebody when you get angry with them. You're going to attack a woman if you're feeling lustful. That we're seeing revealed these days quite a bit. Feelings must be subject to the intellect, which will do a risk-to-benefit analysis and determine if the benefit of a certain action is worth the risk. However, the value system that is employed in that risk-to-benefit analysis will determine the outcome, and that's when the soul comes in. My neshama, that breath of God that was breathed into me, gives me a certain value system. And when I consider the divine consequences of my actions, then those consequences are not just to the physical body and the physical situation, but there's eternal consequences to my actions as well when I take into account my neshama, that divine aspect. The hard mind is focused and set upon the things of God, and it cuts through the haze of emotion and the fog of deception that our minds so easily fall prey to. The serpent in the garden was focused upon a task. The man was not, and he became confused and flustered, and he fell. Yeshua was also presented with an easy way out. Bow to me, the devil said, and I will give you authority over all the nations, and you don't have to go to this cross thing. You don't have to do any of this. Just bow to me. Yeshua's mind was set hard as flint on his father, and his answer was no. Be wise as a serpent. It is the hard-focused mind that will be victorious when it is attacked by the wolves that surround and look to devour. I want to give a few observations on this week because it's been a miraculous week. We're coming up to Hanukkah, and it's the story of some very hard-minded folk who chose a hard, righteous path over going along to get along. A number of the Jews were willing to, okay, we'll sacrifice a pig, who cares? And there was one man who said no. And that one man's action started a revolution, which was also a civil war, by the way. Half the Jews in Israel didn't want to fight with Antiochus, biggest army of the day. Last Friday night, we had a prayer service here, and I prayed that President Trump would declare Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel. That he would be hard-minded and focus on the things of God. And God answered that prayer. I found it kind of curious that in 1917, General Allenby dismounted his horse because he did not wish to ride into Jerusalem when his Lord and Savior, you know, in the same way that his Lord and Savior rode, so he was going to walk into Jerusalem. It's kind of interesting that he sent his planes to fly real low over Jerusalem and drop all these leaflets. The Arabs kind of the Turks and the Arabs who were there kind of misread and talked about, they misread and they read it as Allah Hanavi, or Nabi, Allah the Prophet, comes riding, you know, walking into Jerusalem. And they surrendered. And Allenby took Jerusalem without so much as a shot being fired. And he walked in 1917. And almost to the day, 100 years later, Trump declares Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel. Trump made a very hard-minded decision rather than being guided by emotion. specifically the emotion of fear. Everybody was telling him, don't do this. Don't, you don't want to provoke the Palestinians. I don't think they need provocation. What do you call wandering through the streets of Jerusalem, stabbing people, or blowing up pizza parlors with children inside, or running over people with bulldozers and cars? What do you call that? Because that sounds a lot like violence to me. There will, of course, be consequences for recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, both good and bad. The Czech Republic has already followed suit and also declared Jerusalem to be the capital of Eretz Israel. There will be some negative consequences. Manushtana Hayom Hazeh. Why is this day different from all other days? You got to learn the art of the threat. If I'm going to threaten you, I got to threaten you with something I'm not doing. I can't threaten you with the things I'm already doing. One man took action last week, and the course of history will most certainly take note of that action. One more small observation that I made this morning. A friend of mine sent me a drawing of Allenby walking in. In 1917, Allenby walked in. 50 years later, in 1967, Israel took possession of Jerusalem. 50 years after that, President Trump declared Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel. Now, I don't know what that means. I think it's kind of a coincidence that you're running in these 50-year cycles. I don't know what it means, but I know it means something. I just don't know what it is. But that's too coincidental for me. We are witnessing things that many righteous men and prophets have wished to see, and hearing things that many righteous men and prophets have wished to hear and have not. Pray that the Lord give us eyes to see and ears to hear, because we are living in some of the most extraordinary times in all of history. Father, in Yeshua's name, we give praise, honor, and glory to you. And I thank you, Father, for the things that we have seen, for the things that we have heard. That the answer to Isaiah's question, can a nation be born in a day, was given to us in May of 1948. That we have seen in 1967 with our own eyes Jerusalem come back into the hands of an ancient people in but a day. I pray, Lord God, for those leaders of the nations that will stand with you and declare Yerushalayim to be the place, the seat of your power. I pray for their protection. I pray for their mind to be focused, to be set as flint upon you, and to walk in the paths of righteousness that you have chosen. I thank you for them, and I rejoice with all my people that we have seen these things in our days. In Yeshua's precious name. Amen.